We'll be continuing our series then through Psalm 23 this evening. Tonight we'll be looking at primarily at verse 3, but we will once again read all six verses of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, no matter how many times we hear these words, they never seem to grow old. There are so many situations, Father, where these words of your servant David are so right for us to hear, so needed for us to hear. We pray, Lord, that tonight, as we look a little closer, you might speak to us again, that you might form the words of my mouth, and that every word might be your word, that we would receive together as your people every word and rest in your leading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Living in the kind of world that we do, it's often difficult to know for sure who is really on your side and who isn't. Who is really on your side? Who is really looking out for you? Who is really giving you good counsel? And who is really just in it for themselves? The recent corporate scandals have made that abundantly clear once again, that from the corporate heads who cashed out their stock options when they knew the bottom was about to fall out and left everyone else holding the bag, to the respected stock analysts who continued to say to the people that looked to them for advice to hold on to stocks or to buy stocks before they, or right when they knew the bottom was going to fall out. The average investor of many different companies discovered that while he or she had looked to these people to look out for them, to be on their side, to give them good advice, to lead them in the right way, they found in time that they were really only looking out for themselves, and they weren't looking out for the investor. But we don't have to go all the way to Wall Street to find situations like that, situations of deceit, situations of treachery or double crossing or whatever you might want to call it. People often find themselves in situations like that. They find themselves in situations where the people that they thought had their best interests in mind really didn't and were really looking out for themselves. Whether it's something as relatively minor as discovering later on that the salesperson wasn't completely upfront with you about what this transaction was going to cost you or what you were going to get for your money, to something much more major of realizing that someone very close to you, whom you thought had your best interests in mind, really didn't. A spouse or a parent, someone close to you. It's often difficult in this world to know for sure who is really on your side and who isn't, whether they are someone who genuinely has your best interests at heart or whether they're really just looking out for their own interests and telling you what you want to hear along the way. So trust is a rather rare commodity these days. And because trust is a rather rare commodity in our society, because people feel that they always have to be on the lookout and they always have to be somehow suspicious of just about everyone around them, peace is a rather rare commodity as well. As we've been making our way through Psalm 23, we've been focusing one way and then another about or on this inner peace that seems to fill Psalm 23, that inner peace that seems to fill David as he writes it. Call it comfort, call it rest, call it calm, call it stillness, call it serenity or quietness. They all speak about the same thing, that feeling, that wonderful feeling, that highly desirable feeling of peace, of being at rest. The peace that Psalm 23 speaks of, the peace that it kind of exudes when you read it, and the peace that it would give us if we were ready to receive it. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 1, and as we looked at verse 1, we reflected on that quiet confidence that David had, that because he had a shepherd who knew his needs, specifically the Lord, he had this quiet confidence that all of his needs would be supplied because the Lord was his shepherd. Because it was Yahweh, because it was the compassionate and gracious God, the God who cares about our situation so much that he wants to help us. And he's gracious in that he'll do for us even what we don't deserve. The compassionate and gracious God, the God who's slow to anger and abounding in love and kindness. The God who maintains his love to thousands by forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Because that God, because that person, because that God was Lord, was his shepherd, he had that quiet confidence. And so that confidence then, that quiet confidence that all of your needs are going to be supplied because you know who your shepherd is, that confidence was a critical part of the peace that David had. In verse 2, we saw how that kind of peace, how the effects of having Yahweh as his shepherd went beyond those times when he might have doubted if he was going to have his needs supplied. And they went all the way to those times when his needs were fully supplied. In fact, he sat in abundance. And how knowing that the Lord was his shepherd, and how knowing that the Lord would give him all that he needed, and to look to the Lord to supply it when it was needed, he could lie down in green pastures. He could say, I've already had enough. I'm filled. I don't need more and more and more. We saw that as you took your focus off of the crowd that is so often in the midst of a feeding frenzy around us, trying to get more and more and more in the midst of plenty, those who have the Lord as their shepherd can say, I don't need to do that. I have what I need. I'm filled. And I'm not going to continue to run after more. And so, that kind of contentment was also a critical part of the peace that David had. So we have the quiet confidence of knowing that all of your needs are going to be filled. We have the contentment of knowing that because the Lord is our shepherd, He will in the future supply whatever we need, and in the present, we can rest in the fact that our needs are supplied, that whatever He has given to us is enough to meet our needs. So, confidence and contentment. But now we move on to verse 3, and here in verse 3 we find a third component of that whole atmosphere of peace from which David writes to us, and that is his trust in the fact that Yahweh is truly on his side. That Yahweh is truly looking out for David's best interest. That Yahweh will not lead him astray. He's not going to lead him down the wrong path. The shepherd and the flock don't stay lying down in green pastures or drinking and walking beside waters of quietness all the time. Most of the time, the sheep are on the move. The shepherd has them moving from one place to another. And in the area of Judea, they didn't have the opportunity oftentimes to drive their flocks like we might want to imagine out west or in the prairie states or something, where you'd drive your flocks in these huge grasslands. They didn't have that opportunity much. So what had to happen most of the time was that the shepherd would lead the sheep on paths that wound through the hills and the rocks. So much of the time that you were a sheep, you were on the move. You were going from one place to another place. The shepherd was leading you here and there. Jesus describes that kind of leading for his for believers in John chapter 10, verse 4. He talks in much similar language. When he says, speaking of the shepherd and speaking of himself then, when he has brought out all of his own, and he's talking about there from the sheep pen, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So much of the time then, life for the sheep was a matter of walking down a winding path. So for the entire life of the sheep, for the whole life of the sheep, to have that kind of peace that David talks about, they not only have to have that kind of peace in pastures or beside quiet waters, but they have to have that kind of peace as they're moving from one place to another. They have to have the kind of peace that no matter where they happen to be at the moment, on which path they happen to be, whatever hill they happen to be going around, or whatever rocks they are being led in between, that they're on the right one. Because unless they trust that the shepherd is leading them on the right path, most of their life won't be peaceful, no matter how full their stomachs are. They'll always be wondering. And the same is true if our desire is that our entire lives would be lived in that kind of peace that David writes the psalm with. It isn't enough for us to have the kind of peace we have when we are in a time of rest, when we are at a time of plenty. Those are also critical. But if our entire lives are to be lived in that atmosphere of rest, then we have to have trust that the paths that He's leading us on are indeed the right paths for us to be on. Now I want to spend just a minute talking about that, about what that means, that the paths He has us on are the right paths. Oftentimes we interpret this kind of thing to mean that whatever situation He has us in is where He wants us to be. But that's not exactly right. When David is talking about the fact that the Lord leads him on the right paths, and so he has trust that the Lord is always leading on the right path, and that the direction that they're going is always the right direction to be taking. He's not saying, he's not talking about a kind of passive acceptance that wherever, whatever landscape I happen to be seeing, whatever area I happen to be in, that it's necessarily the one the Lord brought me to. That might sound a little confusing, but hopefully that'll be made clear here in a minute. Some places in which we find ourselves aren't at all places that He led us to. Some places where we find ourselves aren't at all places that He led us to. Sometimes they're places that we decided to go on our own. So we have to be careful not to understand these paths as being the terrain itself, okay? The paths are the way, the road, that are cut through, that lead out of the terrain that you're in. Being on the path of the shepherd's choosing isn't a passive acceptance that wherever you are must be where you want, where he wants you to be. That's not it. Being on the path of the shepherd's choosing is an active decision to follow the way the shepherd is going. Do you understand the difference? Trusting that the Lord is leading you on right paths is not a passive acceptance that wherever you happen to be is where He wants you to be and where He wants you to stay, and that whatever your situation is, just like it. Because obviously, the Lord's guiding you on right paths. The situation that you are in is not the path. To be led on right paths is not to be passive and to just sit there and say, wherever I am, this is where I'm supposed to be. To be led on right paths is to be active, to take a step down the path which cuts through where you are and leads on ahead. Jesus tells us in John 10, in that passage that we read a little while ago, that after he has led all of his sheep out of the pen, he first goes on ahead of them. So he not only chooses the right path for his sheep, he takes it first. He walks it first, ahead of the sheep. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So they listen to his voice. So first then, being led on right paths means to walk on a path where his footsteps are. It's active. He goes on ahead of us. He is the one who leads us. He's the one who gives us the example of what to do or where to go, how to walk. And we follow in his example. That's how he leads us down the right paths. Jesus offers himself many times as an example to his disciples of how they're supposed to live, how they're supposed to walk. In short, they're supposed to give up everything that they want to cling to. They are supposed to deny themselves. They are supposed to take up their cross. They're supposed to serve others. They are supposed to work for reconciliation. They are supposed to forgive. They are supposed to pray. In hundreds of ways, Jesus gives himself as an example of how his sheep are supposed to walk, of what they are supposed to do, how they are supposed to behave, as he did. He goes on ahead of us, and we follow. But also, being on the path of the shepherd's choosing is to listen to his voice and follow it. Now, his voice always matches his example. Jesus never said one thing and did another. He never calls for us to do anything that he didn't do first. As the shepherd who leads us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake, he doesn't bring us to a fork and say, take that one, I'm going to take this one, and I'll meet you on the other side. He always goes first. He is the example. He is the one we follow. That's active. So this trust that David has, this trust that the Lord's sheep are to have, is not passive. It's not a passive acceptance that wherever I am must be where I'm supposed to be. That may or may not be true. It's an active decision to follow the way the Lord is going, to follow the way the Lord would go, the way the Lord did go in the same situation. Some of you might recognize this particular truth, this particular point, as one that we've talked about a couple of times now, and that being of getting God's wills mixed up. We've talked many times that God has two wills, his hidden will, his secret plan for you, his secret plan for where he wants you to be. And his revealed will, what he wants you to do, wherever it is you happen to be. Right? He has a secret will of where in time he wants to bring you. We know that in the end it's going to be with him in paradise. But it's a secret will. That's up to him. And so at any given time, our situation is what it is. And to guess or try to guess if this is where he really wants me or if that's where he really wants me is beside the point. Because he gives us a revealed will, which is how we are to behave wherever it is that we are. That's the path. The revealed will, his voice, which always matches his actions. That's the path. So when David is trusting and at rest because he knows that the Lord always leads him on right paths, he's not saying, I know that I'm always where I'm supposed to be. He's saying that no matter where I am, I know the way I'm supposed to go. I know the way I'm supposed to act. Because I look down and I see his footprints on the same path that I'm on. He, in this situation, served. He, in this situation, humbled himself. All of the things that he did, all of the ways he went before us to show us the way, that's the path. And when we're on that path, when we're doing what he did, When we're following what His voice tells us to do, then we have peace. Because we know that no matter what situation we're in, we're going the right way. That path will never lead us off a cliff, even if where we are is full of cliffs. That is the right path. It is the righteous path. It is the path that He took. It's the path that He calls us down to be led, which means to follow, not to sit and accept. So you see, to have this kind of peace always means to be taking action. To be taking His action. The path of righteousness is not the situation itself, it is the way that has been cut through it. And we get through it just as He did, one step at a time along the right path. Even if the only action He prescribes for that situation is prayer, then that's the step we take. So whatever action would be following His steps or following His voice is the action that we are supposed to take. That is the right action. That is walking along the right path. And as I said, knowing that you're on the right path is the source of peace. So you see that this kind of trust is incredibly critical to being able to live our whole lives in that kind of atmosphere of peace that David is talking about, and that kind of atmosphere of peace that just seeps out of Psalm 23. Because we will always be finding ourselves in situation after situation after situation where we will wonder what path is really the right one for me here. And that's always and forever the question we need to be asking ourselves in any situation. Not does God really want me to be here or not? That's beside the point. Given the fact that I am here, what does He want me to do? Where is the path that goes through this situation? His path. The right path, the one I know will get me where I want to be. We will often find ourselves thinking that some other path might be better for us, or quicker for us, or at least not as painful for us as the one that He went down, or the one that He calls us to. But David's peace does not come from choosing his own path and then asking that the Lord would bless him on it. David's peace comes from following, from being led on the right path. That's where his peace comes from. David says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He knows and He trusts because He knows the Lord's desire or intention. Yahweh, the shepherd, has nothing to gain by leading His sheep down the wrong path. You know, He's God. He is not in need of swindling us out of anything, right? He doesn't need to pad His retirement account with our offerings every week. He doesn't need anything of ours because He has everything. So He has nothing to gain by leading us down the wrong path. He has everything to gain by leading us down the right path, because that brings glory to his name. And that's what all his actions are designed to do, bring glory to his name. One of the recurring frustrations of the Lord throughout the Old Testament is that his people made him look like an idiot before the other nations. He always got angry at them for this, that he would tell them what to do, and the other nations didn't know what he had told them. But then the people wouldn't do it, and they would run into a terrible situation. And the Lord says, look how you make me look before all the other nations. What about my reputation? What about my glory? I want the whole world to know who I am. And when you fail to walk the path that I've chosen for you, the path that I've shown you, and in Christ, the path that I walked before you, when you don't do that, my name is brought down. The Lord has nothing to gain by leading us down the wrong path, and everything to gain by leading us down the right path. David understood that. And so it helped him to trust, even when things didn't look right. He knew it was the right path. The Lord was concerned, and very concerned, that he would always give his people the right instructions, and that they would always listen to them, so that his name might be glorified among the nations. So the Lord will never steer us wrong. Living in the world in which we do, it's often difficult to know if someone is really on your side or not. Deceptions and double crosses abound. There are con men and charlatans and any other name you want to give to them. People who try to get your confidence only to take advantage of you. But there is one that can be trusted beyond a shadow of a doubt. One who can be followed without questioning his agenda. One who can be believed because he has gone before us. You know, that's the old trick, right? In those movies, if they thought someone was going to poison them, well, why don't you have a drink first? The Lord took the path before we did to prove to us it was the right path. The Lord Jesus is that one. So is your life lived in that atmosphere of peace, in the day-to-day grind of being a sheep? It can be. But it will require more than a passive acceptance that wherever you are must be the right place to be. It will require an active stepping out in faith to follow the path with his footsteps on it, to listen to his voice as it calls from farther down the path. True faith in him. The only thing that creates this kind of peace means following his example and his word through whatever situation it is that you find yourself in today. And what situation is that? What situation is that you find yourself in today?
What is the right and righteous path through that situation? It's the one that he took in that same situation. The one that he calls you to through his word in that situation. So how would Jesus handle it? What would he say? What would he do? Jesus said, "When I have brought out all my own, I go on ahead of them, and my sheep follow me because they know my voice. They move as he moved. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I have peace." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you have not left us as sheep without a shepherd, but that you have come and that you have been that shepherd, that you have been that shepherd at each moment of each day that you walked here on this earth, and that you led us, that you gave us the example to follow, and that you have left with us your word, so that we not only have your example for us written down, but we have your words to us, calling out through your apostles, your prophets, all of your servants, the way that we are to go. We pray, Lord, for your strength and your help in discernment to know and to ask ourselves not whether the situation we are in is the one you want us to be in or not, but that you would help us to ask the question and that you would show us clearly the answer, given the fact that we are in this situation. What do you want us to do? Lord, help us to walk that path. And bless us, we pray, with that peace as we begin to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.